Welcome back to Crusade with me. Today's episode is called Iron Sharpens Iron, Challenge Accepted. And I'm glad you're here, armor on, heart open, ready to take another step together on this narrow road. You know, iron sharpens iron, that comes from Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron so that so one man sharpens another. It's a simple verse, short enough to memorize. You can memorize that in a breath. Yet it carries a lifetime of meaning. It tells us that Christian walk isn't passive. It's not about sitting still and hoping things improve. Nope. We're called to be sharpened and to sharpen others. And our faith, our work, our bodies, our minds, and our relationships. To be a crusader for Christ means embracing challenges, not avoiding them. Because comfort never creates a crusader. Well, hello, my queen. How are you?
I'm lovely.
I know you are. It is the weekend.
And it is. Oh,
man, I appreciate that.
Yep. It'll be nice to have you around.
Well, thank you. Yeah. No, we had a full week. Full week.
Yep.
Got exciting stuff happening. I mean,
yes, you do. And we're stretching ourselves, learning new things with the technology.
Challenge accepted, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So just a preview, this is episode 130, Iron Sharpens Iron, Challenge Accepted. Episode 131, I haven't even came up with a name for it yet. I'm just going to call it BSS.
A nickname you donned on the oldest grandchild years ago.
12 years ago.
Well, a little.
Maybe 11.
Yeah, when we had a portable hot tub at the home.
Well, he was younger. He was really young. But yeah, I remember him in his
little
bathing suit standing there in front of that door.
Yeah, that hung down to his ankles.
Yes. His cankles at that time.
Yeah, he was a little beefy guy.
And yeah. BSS stands for Big Sexy Stud.
Yeah.
And I've always referred to my number one grandson as Big Sexy Stud because, I mean, you know, when they're one.
Yeah.
And he's got this Buddha belly.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But now he's, I don't know, he's over 5 foot and... Ben
he's gaining on me. He's surpassed my mother, Amma.
I think he's passed you.
Well, it could be because when they moved back to Florida, it's like they were there 2 days and he shot up.
Right.
So
that's why it happens. But anyway, we're going to have him on episode 131 and I'm going to interview him. And this last week, he was just in his new school. He had entered a talent show.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I know I'm biased, but...
We'll let you decide for yourself.
Yeah, maybe I think I'll try to... I'll play a little part of what he did. He has self-taught himself to play the piano.
Uh-huh. And I take credit for that.
There you go. There you go.
When he came over, I don't know, it's probably been about 7 years ago, and I was... playing, and he said, how about you play the left hand and I'll play the right hand?
Yeah.
Okay. And then he taught himself on an iPad.
Yes.
Which I tried to do that for, and that was just too much.
Too much. Yeah.
So he is self-taught, but he brought down the house.
Yes, he did.
And
he played,
even had a lovely bow.
The end, yeah.
He accepted. Yeah. He accepted the accolades
very well.
Very well, yeah. Which is good because he's got some self-confidence issues sometimes.
Well, he's a 12-year-old boy, so yeah. I'm certain that's.
So he enjoyed. He soaked it all up.
As he should.
Yeah, I mean, I think people would be surprised that he is self-taught.
I know that, zero. And we've offered to pay to have him get lessons.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, that's easy to say. That's not always easy to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, because of finding reputable instructors in the area that you live.
Plus, they've moved around a lot. But anyways, he is, he's got a talent.
Yes, he does. So I'm so excited. So please, please tune in to episode 131 called BSS.
That's what you're going to.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll ask him before we record. What do you want to title this one?
Mm-hmm.
You had brought up something with a diary of a preteen boy or something, or a preteen man. I don't know.
He's a gifted young man in many areas. So I'm anxious. Absolutely. To hear is you sent him some questions earlier this week, and
right. Well, I didn't want to blindside him,
right? But I'm sure they will be thought.
So we have to share. We have to share. So his parents were quizzing him or questioning him about the questions that Papa sent, and have you looked at them? And what are your answers? Because Andrew, our son, had reviewed the questions, and he was kind of quizzing Camden, and just says, so what are you going to say to this one? He says, Camden says, you're just going to have to tune in and find out.
That's beautiful. Beautiful.
I absolutely love
it. Even withholding the information from his parents.
That's BSS.
Well, but you were smart because, again, we don't even take, we protect the innocent.
Yes.
And so we even wanted to ask our own children permission to
absolutely
have the grands on.
Right. So yes, I learned a new skill, and that is how to conduct a phone interview through our Rodecaster Pro 2, I don't know what you call that. I guess it's a mixing board, but in recorder.
So we tried that out right before we
started
to record this. I had to go in the other bedroom and...
Yep.
Yeah. So I get a reprieve.
Yeah, for one episode.
BSS is going to step in for Mimi.
Yes, he
Mimi.
Is. Uh-huh. Yes, he is. So I am really excited. Of course... We get up early and we record early,
yeah,
so
gets
we
up
have
about
to.
11.
We have to take a break, and then I will call him later.
We might go to the shooting range in between.
There you go.
This episode and recording the next.
There
one.
You go.
We'll get a whole half day in before.
And we're gonna go see the Queen Mum.
Yeah, a little concerned about the Queen Mum. I usually see her 2 days a week now that we're in our new lifestyle with that, and she's. I took her to the doctor last week, and she's got some issues. And I saw her Monday, and she was, still struggling with some of her issues.
But gut issues.
Gut issues. Yeah. I mean, she's had colon cancer. He gave her some things and said if they didn't rectify themselves, she might need some testing.
Correct.
And not only have they not rectified, I think they've gotten worse. And so the decline in her from Monday to yesterday, because she's diabetic, I had to change her Dexcom, just was a little,
alarming.
I have caution. And so I asked you if we could go see her today, because I want you to put eyes on her. She looks very weak. And after saying for the last, 3 weeks now, she's been not only surviving but thriving, and she's so busy. I have to, she's scooting me
out.
You
have to schedule an appointment to see her.
Yeah.
Yes,
and for 2 days she has not participated
in
anything. In fact, when I was leaving yesterday, they were holding the bus for her to
had to tell them
go
on.
And
right.
I said, no, she's not coming. And in fact, they had sent the nurse in to see her the day before, which I knew nothing about.
Yeah, that's not good.
And so, yes, I am a little concerned. So if anyone would like to keep her in your prayers, I'd appreciate that.
The Queen Mum.
The Queen Mum.
At the Manor.
At the Manor. So, yeah, I'm a little, I mean, I'm not overly concerned. But no,
we'll take a look. I think
she's just weak. And that.
Well, I think she's overdone. She put on the gas for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I think she might have hit a wall. No, I get it. She does have
a little more than
she has
that,
health issues,
yeah.
Obviously.
So, a little concerned. but she did say, let me just say this. So, you have not seen her in 3 weeks. And so, her mind, you were in a big hurry to load her up. And
her
as
off.
Soon as your job was done, you left. We went to lunch, and then you went from lunch and went straight home while me,
right.
Our daughter, and two of my brothers continued to, because we wanted all the boxes out,
right.
So we just unloaded stuff, put things together, put things away, and then she could take her time and put things where she wanted them. And so you have not been back.
No, I know.
And so in her mind, boy, you couldn't get her in there fast enough, and you have not been back to see her.
I know.
Like, okay, well, that just sealed the deal for her that this was the right decision. So she's got to make it what she can because there's no going back.
So, she knows that's not true. I had that conversation with
her. I know,
but
so she needs to see your face as much as I need you to see hers to just put eyes on her.
I thought you were going to talk about stirring stuff and coming out smelling like a rose.
Well, there's that too. There's that story too. Should I?
No.
Okay.
No.
You do like to drop bombs, literally, and then walk away.
All right. Let's get into sharpening process, okay? Let's not divert. And I think I made it really clear on this podcast that for many, many years, and actually still now, I've made a career out of working with metal, especially steel, right? Yep. I mean, I worked with aluminum for, I don't know, 5 years. But anyway, I predominantly worked with steel.
Yeah.
And anybody knows that works with metal knows this. When you sharpen metal, it doesn't happen without friction. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So even when you know, in the olden days, and I'm going way back, so I'm talking about Errol Flynn playing Robin Hood or and the swashbucklers and all those, you know, when the guys, they have their swords and the swords strike each other. They're talking about steel, metal. And they clang and there's fire, there's sparks. Absolutely. That's the friction. That's the friction. The dull edges grind away with friction. You know, the steel heats up. Whenever there's friction, you have a transfer of heat. So then you have the heat up. But in the end, it's sharper. More effective, more beautiful in its purpose. And that is exactly what God wants to do in us. Sometimes he uses his word. Sometimes other people. And often he uses the circumstances of our daily lives to refine us. Mm-hmm. Proverbs chapter 17. I know you love Proverbs.
Well, I'm in the thick of it every day.
Yes. It is written, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests hearts. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord test hearts. So we all go through the refining fire, all of us. Maybe it's through a difficult boss, a health scare, a strained marriage, or the discipline to take it takes to improve your body, your habits, your thoughts. See, this is what we have to always keep in mind. God is not trying to destroy us. He's shaping us. So you're being tempered like iron in a forge, made ready for battle. You know, too often we treat faith like something we take off the shelf on Sundays. But Scripture calls us to live it everywhere. When we push ourselves to be more disciplined at work, to eat healthier, to move our bodies, to show up early, to honor our word, that's not just self-improvement. That's stewardship. Colossians 3, verse 23, it is written, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily, for as the Lord rather than for men." That's the Christian way of saying, don't settle, don't slack, don't coast. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. And that Spirit doesn't produce mediocrity. So whether it's physical training, intellectual growth, financial responsibility, or spiritual discipline, every challenge you take on with faith and integrity becomes part of your crusade. And this is another something I want everyone to think about. You know, have you heard you've heard this term? I think we've used this term on this podcast before, and I only learned this term I think in the last year. Your tribe, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. So people use that word a lot these days, and your tribe is the group you spend time with. So people who influence your decisions, shape your standards, and set your pace. So we ask you this. Do the people in your tribe make you better or make you comfortable?
Mm-hmm.
Because comfort is dangerous ground. Mm-hmm. When everyone around you just nods and agrees, you stop growing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have people who challenge you, who lovingly tell you when you're off course, those are the iron sharpening iron friends.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. It is written. We just did this last week. Two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is none other to lift him up. So who lifts you up?
Mm-hmm.
Who calls you higher? Who challenges you to be more Christ-like, more disciplined, more excellent in your work, more patient at home, more forgiving in spirit. If your friends or if your tribe is only keeping you comfortable, you'll never know the strength God designed for you. Surround yourself with people who demand your best. Not for ego, but for the glory of God. You know, I think about this many years ago, and now we were just, you know, relishing in, BSS's video. And I remember back many, many years ago, I was actually younger than him, when I first learned how to play, or was first learning how to play the guitar. Mm-hmm. You know, the three chords I still only know. But anyway.
GCD. And that's not true. But that's your joke, so I'll let you have it.
I was playing with two brother-in-laws that had played guitar for decades. Mm-hmm. And guess what that did? That made me better, faster.
Right.
I had to keep up.
Right.
I had to know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the tribe.
Right. I was going to give a negative example of your tribe, mm-hmm. is when it comes to celebrities. And the two that pop into my mind would be Michael Jackson and Britney Spears. When people are afraid to tell you, to call you out and tell you no, one, it can end your life.
Yes, right.
Look at all the people who were afraid to tell him no, Michael right. Jackson. And then I'm not going to get into the whole parental debate, because I think there was a lot of taking advantage of Britney by her parents. But people in her inner circle were afraid to tell her no, and I believe are still afraid to tell her no. And if you don't have people that you trust...
I didn't know she was still... Was she still making music?
No, but she's making okay. inappropriate videos, and clearly she's not right, or is still under the influence of...
Something.
Things.
Okay.
My opinion only. I think it's just a true example of your not trusting the people in your inner circle to tell you when things are wrong.
Well, that trust has to be built up over time. Right. That trust has to be built up over time. And if they're just making, as I've just said over and over again here, if your tribe is just making you comfortable,
yes,
they're not helping you.
Right.
And that's exactly what you're saying. You're saying it.
That is what I'm saying.
Look at this. Look at how tragic this could be.
It could be, yes.
Simply by being comfortable.
They don't want it to, because they're this enigma of greatness in
music,
pulp culture, whatever, right. or just because they're billionaires or whatever reason, or because they like that lifestyle. They don't want to tell them no because, if I tell them no, they're going to get rid of me and make me go away, and I'm not going to be a part of this anymore. And so that's what they're driven by.
Follow the money.
Follow the money. Right.
Right.
And yeah, that's.
No. And you know what? You bring up a great point. And that's a great, because you know what else I want to talk about? I mean, I'm talking about iron sharpens iron. And I want to be clear. This is not gender specific.
No.
Okay. The tribe, iron sharpening iron, doesn't have to be a male friend. I'm talking about from my perspective. Right. It could be my spouse.
Right.
It could be...
Right, because who doesn't hold you more accountable than your spouse?
I would hope.
Right?
Right. Exactly right.
Right.
We've seen tragic events and things go awry when spouses don't hold spouses
uh-huh.
accountable.
Well, and just like when you were referring to, you know, when bad things happen, God's refining us. We've had some significant events happen in our life, and I'm
yes.
thinking of one in particular. And you also made reference that, you know, God sends
people into your lives.
Into your life for reasons, for we've said that before, for reasons, for seasons. Sometimes your tribe, some people come and go for different reasons.
Correct.
But sometimes, and I've, you know, sometimes Jesus exists in people. You know, I always say, be the hands and the feet.
Right.
Of Jesus.
Jelly Roll stole your line, by the way.
I know he did, but that's okay. He said it a little bit differently at the Dove Awards, but I love him.
I've never seen it. I just happened to see that on the social media feed today.
Yeah, a little clip. But anyways, and at one point, one of the hardest moments in my life, I physically could, my knees
buckled.
And feet buckled.
Right.
And you were there to catch me. Mm-hmm. Because that was more than I could bear in that moment. And God gave me you to catch me because I could not endure what was happening.
But, and you did.
And I did. I did.
You did.
But I did. But my body.
Yeah. In a moment. This was not like a, it was a momentary thing.
No, it was just
thing.
A moment.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I got you. And we got the vehicle.
Yeah.
Anyways,
but no, I think that's important to share. That
it is, it is. And so what we're talking about now, you're talking about being refined by fire.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm kind of a metals guy. And so I know about this too, a little bit for a couple of decades. Remember, I took you when I was making steel.
Yeah, it's hot. It's hot. It is. I mean, it's not like, it's a 99-degree day outside hot. It is instinctive that your elbow will go in front of your face hot. I didn't think about it. It wasn't like maybe I should put my arm up and shield myself. It just happened.
It's there's a difference between 99 degrees and 4,000 degrees.
I mean, and we were like probably 100 yards away. I don't know, 50 yards away. And we were up in the air.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, if you are skittish, there is so much going on, cranes going over your head, things going on, trains on the ground. It was like OCD paradise. ADD paradise. It was just,
you thought it was tense. Overwhelming.
Very tense.
Well, that was your first time stepping into a BOF or what we call a melt shop, right?
Yeah.
That's where we would melt.
It was too much. Talk about too much. That was too much.
So yeah, I'd done that for a long time.
Yeah.
And our son kind of did that for a while. He worked at a forge in an iron foundry. So he made iron, which, I think that's great.
He used to do it in a sleeveless shirt.
Well, he's an idiot. But yeah, anyway. So there are two related but not the same. Sharpening happens through friction. Refining happens through fire.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's fire doesn't just shape. I mean, it makes it easier to shape.
It breaks what the, down.
What the heat does, it purifies.
Mm-hmm.
Because just like with aluminum, in scripture, they make reference to silver and gold, right? Mm-hmm. And silver and gold and in aluminum, when you get the impurities out, you call that dross, D-R-O-S-S. In the steel making process, we didn't call it dross, we called it slag.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
And we would have to get the slag. We would separate the purities of the steel and the slag. You didn't want slag in your steel. That's all the impurities. You just worked pretty hard for 20 minutes to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there was always this quote-unquote dance and almost an art of tapping out of the BOF into a pot, a ladle, getting all the steel out of the furnace, but not letting the slag come out of the furnace.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always an art. And, you know, I went back there, I can't remember, it was years later, and man, they had changed so much that they used thermal imaging cameras and all this, that, and the other, and really made the job that I had done there for decades useless.
Much easier.
Well, certainly weren't standing, weren't standing above a 4,000 degree molten ladle.
With a shovel over your face, protecting
yourself. Yeah. But that's the difference, is iron sharpening iron is using friction, and that's helping to hone, right, and shape. Mm-hmm. Fire. Heat. Is purifying. That's getting rid of stuff you don't want. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind in life when you're in the fire.
Right.
What is needing to get heated up and taken out of my life?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So, Isaiah 48:10. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. That's not a verse we put on coffee mugs. Have you noticed that? I haven't seen Isaiah 48:10 on a coffee mug, but it's truth. It is truth. Affliction, difficulty, loss. They're not punishment. They're part of God's forge. The heat of trial burns away what doesn't belong. Things like pride, fear, impurities, selfish ambition. And then what remains is stronger, cleaner, ready for his purpose. You know, Peter echoes this in the New Testament. In 1 Peter 1:7, it is written, "So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which perishes, though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." You see, even our suffering has purpose. The Christian life isn't about avoiding the heat. It's about trusting the smith's hands. So we have iron sharpening iron, and then we are refined by the heat. So let's make this practical, right? What does sharpening look like today, right now, in our daily walk?
Five things.
You know what they are.
You're really stepping it up.
I know.
Five. Prayer.
Scripture.
Bible read scripture.
Oh. Daily scripture reading, not just for comfort. Not just for comfort. For correction. Mm-hmm. That's where we learn. Treat your body as a temple. Get up, move, train, eat clean, sleep well, which I did not do last night. I don't know why.
I know. I got up and I saw some peanut butter and syrup.
A bowl remains.
In the sink, yeah.
And fill your mind with truth. Replace gossip and negativity with wisdom and thanksgiving.
So in other words, stay off social media.
Yeah.
Read your Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, read your Bible instead. Surround yourself with people who reflect light, not darkness. The tribe.
The tribe.
In your vocation, do your job with integrity and diligence as unto the Lord.
It's all over Proverbs.
Yes, it is. Yes.
If you are a slave and you work for your master, you work as you would unto God.
Absolutely. So when iron sharpens iron, both pieces change. Keep that in mind. So when you sharpen someone, your spouse, your child, a coworker, do it gently, prayerfully, in intentionally. And when someone sharpens you, don't resist it. Thank God for it. That's the Spirit working to refine your edge. Ultimately, all this sharpening, all this refining, all this challenge has one goal: to make us reflect the image of Christ. That's the purpose. That's the goal. Romans 8:29, it is written, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son." That's the goal of the Christian life, to become more like Jesus. And how was Jesus refined? Through obedience. Through testing. Through suffering. Even the Son of God faced the fire. Not to prove his strength, but to display his perfect submission to the Father. So when you embrace challenge, whether it's at the gym, in your marriage, at work, in prayer, you're walking the same path. You're saying, "Not my will, but yours be done." And that's how the blade of your soul is sharpened until it gleams with his reflection. My beloved.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any closing thoughts?
I'm just going to encourage people to obviously be in the Word every day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't listened to Jelly Roll's acceptance speech at the Dove Awards, I cannot retell it.
No,
you need to listen to it from his own mouth. It's encouraging and inspiring.
Yes, the least of these.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I mean, I just can't retell it. And also listen to C.C. Winans, the Queen of gospel.
I was shocked this year. I didn't even know that she was still performing. Yeah, yeah.
And she still gives me goosebumps.
Yeah.
So I'll just leave it there.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was thinking about this. You know, I get in a rut with these episodes sometimes, and I was thinking about the quote I read from Thomas Kempis. Okay.
We talked about him privately. Yeah.
Thomas Kempis?
Didn't we have this conversation last week?
No, that
earlier
was a
this
that
week?
Was that was a different.
Oh,
that was
okay.
All
right, sorry.
Yeah, that was Johann whatever the number 3 guy, yeah, in the I don't even know if this fits, but this was my morning reading, part of my morning reading. And I want to get to this other portion of this. It says, "So long as we live in this world, we cannot escape suffering and temptation." So I felt like that fit.
Mm-hmm.
"Whence it is written in Job, the life of man upon earth is a warfare. Everyone, therefore, must guard against temptation and must watch in prayer, lest the devil, who never sleeps, but goes about seeking whom he may devour, find occasion to deceive him. No one is so perfect or so holy, but he is sometimes tempted. Man cannot be altogether free from temptation. Yet temptation, though troublesome and severe, are often useful to a man, for in them saints all pass through many temptations and trials to profit by them, while those who could not resist become reprobate and fell away. There is no state so holy, no place so secret, that temptation and trials will not come. Man is never safe from them as long as he lives, for they come from within us. In sin we were born. When one temptation or trial passes, another comes. We shall always have something to suffer because we have lost the state of original blessedness. I love that line. The beginning of all temptation lies in the wavering mind and little trust in God. For as a rudderless ship is driven hither and yon by waves, so a careless and irresolute man is tempted in many ways. First temper irons and temptation steals the just. Often we do not know what we can stand, but temptation shows us what we are. We should not despair, therefore, when we are tempted, but pray to God the more fervently that he may see fit to help us. For according to the word of Paul, he will make issue with temptation that we may be able to bear it. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13.
Right.
And then they always give a hymnody, right? And that's what I was thinking about. I would like to do an episode maybe on our favorite hymns.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. Kind of dissect them.
Mm-hmm.
But the hymnody from LSB 699, verse 1. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, so weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Obviously, the song, I heard the voice of Jesus say.
And my thoughts on what you just read is when it comes to surrendering to God when we face temptation, is that God gets all the glory.
Yes, indeed.
The God of grace gets all the glory.
You're right. That is wonderful. So, Crusaders, where do you need sharpening today? Where has life gotten too comfortable or too easy or too dull? Remember, iron sharpens iron. You were not made for comfort. You were made for challenge. You were made to be a reflection of Christ. Strong, disciplined, compassionate, and courageous. So seek out that friction. Embrace the fire. Because that's where transformation happens. And when you come out of it, you won't just be better. You'll be holy steel. Forged in grace, ready for battle. Radiant with purpose. Let's pray. O Lord our God, you are the refiner of souls and forger of all creation. You take the rough iron of our hearts and make it instruments of your will. Grant us courage to endure the friction that sharpens us and the fire that purifies us. Teach us humility to be shaped and wisdom to shape others in love. Unite us with those who strengthen our faith and call us to righteousness. Make our hands steady, our spirits steadfast, and our lives a mirror of your divine light. May we be sharpened by your service and refined for your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, fellow Crusaders, for joining us today on Crusade with me. Remember, God's call isn't to stay comfortable, it's to stay sharp. Accept the challenge he places before you. Surround yourself with those who make you better. And when the fire comes, know this, you're being refined, not destroyed. Until next time, keep your armor bright, your spirit humble, and your heart set on the King.